In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have so many new people with us this year for our novena to the Immaculate Conception that I hope you will bear with me, my dear children, when I take some moments to explain the history and meaning of this novena, especially for those who are new to it this year, but of course is a good reminder to all of us. From the moment when our Blessed Savior ascended above the highest heavens to take his place at the right hand of the Father, the Church has always prayed novenas. The liturgy of the Holy Roman Church acknowledges two novenas which soar above the rest in their sublimity and importance for our faith. 9 days of prayerful preparation and petition. There is, of course, that very first novena from Ascension Thursday until Pentecost, when we are told that the apostles and Our Lady were united in prayer, waiting to be endued with power from on high by the coming of the Holy Ghost. This is the most explicit novena which we find in our liturgy. We may also, though, understand a sort of novena leading up to Christmas if we count from the first day of the O Antiphons, that is December 17th, until Christmas Day itself. The novena which we begin today is not, strictly speaking, a part of the liturgy. Nevertheless, as divine providence would have it, we begin from the vigil of St. Andrew today until the eve of the Immaculate Conception to prepare for that great feast, as has been done in the Church for many centuries. In the year 1417, the Great Western Schism ended with the election of Pope Martin V, and thus no longer were there any disputes in the West about who was Pope or how many popes there were. This Pope ordered the restoration of an ancient Roman basilica, the Basilica in Rome of the Holy Apostles, which had existed since the 4th century but had been destroyed by an earthquake a generation earlier. In 1474, this basilica was entrusted to the care of the conventual Franciscans. In 1476, only 2 years later, the feast of the Conception of Mary, on December 8th, was extended to the Universal Church. The Franciscans, those glorious defenders of the privilege of the Immaculate Conception, since the Scholastic Age, were already celebrating that feast when they came into the possession of this glorious basilica. And so they resolved to prepare for the celebration of that feast in the basilica by a solemn novena. This tradition carried on through the centuries. And from the early 18th century, the custom has been for a cardinal or another Roman prelate to come each night of the novena to preach and celebrate solemn benediction. This tradition continues today, and so this novena begins today in the Eternal City with a prelate to preach every night of the novena. We here in our little town of St. Mary's are very grateful for all the preachers who will be coming here throughout these 9 days to proclaim the glories of our Immaculate Queen and Mother. We share something else with that solemn novena celebrated in Rome, in Gricigliano, and other houses of the Institute. The other feature of this novena, which is drawn from the Church's ancient treasures, a 4th century hymn, as old as that Roman basilica, The hymn, Tota Pucra Es. Yes, even before Ephesus proclaimed Mary to be the Mother of God, Christians were already applying to Our Lady in song the mystical words of the Canticle of Canticles. Tota Pucra Es. Thou art all fair, O Mary, thou art all fair, and there is not a spot in thee. How lovely, how sweet in its delights, thy unstained conception. Come, O come from Lebanon, thou shalt be crowned. This is the novena which our superiors knew when they were studying in Rome, as did also, as he likes to remind me, the Bishop of La Crosse, the Most Reverend William Callahan. Every night they would go to the Basilica to assist at this novena. And this is the tradition which the superiors of the Institute were intent on bringing to the community they founded. This year, we are invited to consider the glories of Mary, especially under the theme and title of Mother. And that is how we begin together today. This past October, I preached to you on the apparitions of Our Lady at L'Île Bouchard in France. How the Queen of Heaven interceded to prevent the eldest daughter of the Church from falling to the Red Hordes, who were fighting to topple the government and make that land part of the Soviet bloc. Those apparitions took place from December 8th through December 14th, 1947. Back in October, it was far from my mind that the dates of December 8th and December 14th would have any particular importance for our nation this year. Yet here we are. On December 8th, all the states of this Union must certify their electors, and on December 14th, they will vote for our next president. I do not bring these dates to your attention in order to invite speculation on how American politics will play out over the next 2 weeks, or the next 2 months, for that matter. The political forces at work are too vast, the intrigue too subtle, for a preacher to expound on this subject from the pulpit. Truly, the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. So we must remember that is not our mission. Let none of us waste this novena consulting blogs, social media, or any other self-proclaimed oracles of this blind world. From December 8th to 14th, 1947, Our Lady delivered France from communist takeover through the prayers of children. Let these dates be a simple reminder to us that our elections, our nation, our families, our Church, all is in the hands of our Mother. Shortly after the birth of these United States, the Holy See established the Diocese of Baltimore, which included all of the original 13 colonies as its territory. Father John Carroll was named its first bishop and was consecrated on August 15th, 1791, the Feast of the Assumption of Our Lady. In the first pastoral letter which he addressed to his vast new diocese in 1792, he entrusted his great mission to Our Blessed Mother. He wrote, "I shall only add this my earnest request, that to the exercise of the sublimest virtues, faith, hope, and charity, you will join a fervent and well-regulated devotion to the Holy Mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you will place great confidence in her in all your necessities. Having chosen her the special patroness of this diocese, you are placed, of course, under her powerful protection. And it becomes your duty to be careful to deserve its continuance by a zealous imitation of her virtues and a reliance on her motherly superintendence. At the Sixth Plenary Council of Baltimore, held in 1846, the bishops of the United States unanimously chose our Blessed Mother under the title of the Immaculate Conception to be the patroness of the United States of America. In the pastoral letter issued by our bishops, we read, "We take this occasion to communicate to you the determination unanimously adopted by us to place ourselves and all entrusted to our charge throughout the United States under the special patronage of the Holy Mother of God, whose Immaculate Conception is venerated by the piety of the faithful throughout the Catholic Church. By the aid of her prayers, we entertain the confident hope that we will be strengthened to perform the arduous duties of our ministry, and that you will be enabled to practice the sublime virtues of which her life presents the most perfect example." The following year, the American bishops were informed that our Holy Father Pius IX most willingly confirmed the wishes of the council that has selected the Blessed Virgin, conceived without sin, as the patroness of the Church of the United States of America. This patronage was the culmination of the place Mary already held in the life of the Americas. From the landing of Columbus's ship, the Santa Maria, to the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, till now. What's more, she was now the special patroness, not only of the New World, but of this new republic. Could it be that America will not only thwart the menace of socialism, but even emerge from this present trial at long last as a truly Catholic nation? We must dare to hope, for the Mother of Holy Hope beckons us. Throughout this novena, let our perpetual prayer be, "Maria, monstra te se matrem." O Mary, show thyself a mother. Teach thy children the fear of the Lord, that through thy immaculate heart our prayers may be received by him who deigned to become thy son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory and honor forever. Amen.